In June 2011, 54 American and international visitandines came together in St. Louis, Missouri, to celebrate the 400th anniversary of the Order of the Visitation of Holy Mary. For more information about the Order of the Visitation of Holy Mary, go to visitationspirit.org. The following talk is The Development of the Devotion to the Sacred Heart Up to the 18th Century, by a Visitation Sister from Tyringham, Massachusetts.
Dear sisters and friends, in this rather short presentation, I would like to try and sketch out some possible points of interest that factored into the development of the devotion to the Sacred Heart in our early days as an order, and continued on through the 18th century with the life of our sister, the Venerable Anne Madeleine Remsen. Because my French is on the poor side, I studied Spanish in school. I hope you will bear with me in the pronunciation of any names and places that are important to our order's history. To begin, it has been observed by a contemporary spiritual writer that our holy founder, St. Francis de Sales, touched everything he treated with deep tenderness. Devotion and the love of God pulsated from his writings. In his own life, great sensitivity toward others was nurtured by his own anguished experience as a young student at Clermont. There, as we remember, he was gripped by the mental certainty that he was doomed to go to hell. Having suffered weeks of torment with no hope of salvation. But we know he was mercifully delivered at the altar of Our Lady of Good Deliverance. Afterward, what seemed to emerge in the soul and mind of our Holy Founder was the concept of the salvific will of God. As he wrote in his treatise, "No man can ever complain as if God's mercy were lacking to anyone." So powerful was this insight that it has been remarked that what he, Francis de Sales, learned in those dark days would mark his counsel and life forever with the virtue of compassion. Writing to someone in a similar situation, he revealed, "My soul, which endured the like for 6 long weeks, is qualified to compassionate with those thus afflicted." With such a soul-shaking experience, he came to grasp so concretely the meaning of human and divine love. Perhaps it was this already well-ingrained leaning to the merciful love of God that compelled him to speak those prophetic words to his first 3 daughters on the solemn occasion of their first profession, June 6, 1611. In the same way, I hope, we shall see these 3 souls, which the providence of God has sown here, as in some small corner of the earth, become multiplied beyond count. The divine mercy will bless them with a great posterity and will be glorified in their work. Interestingly, it was only 4 days after this profession ceremony that Francis wrote his thoughts on what the emblem of the Visitation Order might look like. We all know the words of that letter to Mother de Chantal so well. "I thought then, my dear mother, that if you agree on the point. We ought to take as our coat of arms a heart, pierced by two arrows, enclosed in a crown of thorns. This poor heart serving as the setting to a cross, which will rise therefrom, and will be inscribed with the sacred names of Jesus and Mary. Thus began the embryonic presence of the devotion to the Sacred Heart in the Visitation. Throughout the early expansion days of the Visitation, there would be many opportunities to humanly appropriate this gift of God's divine mercy. Francis would time and again exercise the personal attributes of the Good Shepherd upon those actively involved in the establishment of the first houses of the Visitation. We can witness one such demonstration of his practical kindness and immense patience by recalling the care he took with the Third Foundation at Moulin. Here, the originator of the idea for the foundation, Madame de Gouffier, exercised an interminable hold on the early organization of the community, exasperating particularly the superior, Charlotte de Brichard. Francis, however, assuages the ruffled feelings of Charlotte, offering words of peace to calm the anxieties of her heart. He writes, "My dear daughter, lift up your spirit. Do not get vexed. Smooth everything over. Consider that it is the work of God to which this lady devotes herself according to her lights, and you according to yours, and that each of you must bear with regard to the other for the love of the Savior." Hearing today these centuries-old words spoken, one can't help but have the sense that there was a tremendous goodwill at work in our Holy Founder. He possessed a tremendously good heart that sought to understand the whole person and the whole situation. And we can say that this good spirit got passed on and was readily absorbed by our first sisters. They were blessedly nurtured by it and spurred on in their heart-centered human and spiritual development. In his own exuberant way, Reverend Emile Bougot writes that a host of early visitandines grew in their love of the Divine Heart, and that in almost all visitation convents were found religious of high sanctity, favored with the most striking lights on the Sacred Heart. But while our early visitandine sisters were contemplating the awesome mystery of the pierced side of the Lord, the outer world would indeed be exposed to other views of seeing God's mercy and love played out upon the human soul. From the publication of Cornelius Jansen's major work in 1640, the ideas inherent in what came to be known as Jansenism took hold on the religious sensibilities of the 17th century. Basically, the Jansenists did not believe that the Lord's sacrificial suffering and death were meant to save humanity. Only a few were predestined to be saved. Jansen was the bishop of a Flemish diocese and had been a brilliant professor at Louvain before assuming the episcopal see of Ypres in present-day Belgium. His posthumously published masterpiece, Augustinus, set the stage for an understanding of Augustine that emphasized original sin and the wayward inclinations and sinfulness of creation. Many and influential were his followers, including such notables as Blaise Pascal and the Arnauld family. Jansen crafted his doctrines carefully, and they were promoted by those who could carry on sophisticated and persuasive intellectual arguments. Bougon notes that even the granddaughter of our Holy Mother, Saint Jane, Madame de Sévigné, gave a Jansenist book to the nuns of a certain convent which she was in the habit of visiting, most probably a visitation one, and that these nuns were charmed with it. It has been said that the Jansenists, what they detested about the devotion to the Sacred Heart, especially as it strongly emerged out of the Père Lamoniale cloister through its Jesuit messengers, was the special attention placed on the Merciful Heart of Jesus. The Jansenists disdainfully referred to those who wished to honor the Sacred Heart as heart worshipers. They were angered not only because Christ's human nature was given divine worship, but most significantly because the heart of Christ symbolized his unconditional and universal love for humanity. Indeed, his passionate love for humanity. Jansenism's cold-shouldered postures took years to dissipate. They infiltrated many religious houses and crossed the borders of Belgium into France and Spain and Austria, eventually even reaching American shores through Irish missionaries who had studied at French schools. Jansenism, however, could not demolish the great impact of the Sacred Heart on the French religious consciousness. That great impact took mighty hold on the city of Marseille, which bears the distinction of being the first to consecrate itself to the Sacred Heart. Home to generations of the Rémusat family, it is closely linked to the life of our Visitandine sister, the Venerable Anne Madeleine Rémusat. The story of Anne Madeleine's life became publicized through her involvement with the bishop of the diocese, Henri Belsunce, and his dramatic part in the cessation of the deadly plague which struck the city in 1720. Anne Madeleine was born in 1696 and entered the second monastery of the Visitation in 1705. And her early religious life showed remarkable spiritual gifts. Some of her community contributions included directress of the school at a young age, the initiation of a plan for a guard of honor of adoration, whose members grew to an astounding number, around 30,000 in a few years' time, and the composition of invocations for a litany of prayers to the Sacred Heart. She gained immense influence through her correspondence and was said to have the ability to discern hearts. But her great love for the Sacred Heart stayed and matured, and she longed to make it known and loved. On a purely historical level, however, she will be associated with the devastating plague which took down half the city's population in 1720. The present-day historian, Raymond Jonas, devotes a whole chapter of his book, France and the Cult of the Sacred Heart, to capturing the details of the religious characters and the unfolding historical situation at the time of the plague, while focusing on its narrative value as an epic tale in the life of the French nation. Others have seen the plague solely as a form of God's vengeance for the sins of the people. Drawing on the private notes of Anne Matalette, they highlight her own words. He, God, showed me that he willed to purge the Church of Marseille from its errors, meaning Jansenism, by opening to it his adorable heart, the source of all truth. Despite the interpretive difference in these approaches, the story of the plague and Anne Madeleine's hidden role in it is a compelling one. According to Jonas, it was she who deserves the credit for putting the Sacré-Cœur at the center of Belsunce's holy response to the threat of the plague. What may prove of particular interest to us are the words of an old version of the story of the plague of Marseille. It was a procession in honor of the Sacred Heart, led by the bishop himself, that included an act of reparation and consecration, which coincided with a marked diminishment of the ravages of the plague. Could this be an invitation to meditate on the power of procession? We know that there was indeed a time correlation between the intercessory and consecratory prayers to the Sacred Heart and the lessening of the plague's potency. However, it did reoccur in 1722, and this time the bishop regretted that the senior members of the town had not taken part in the first consecration. He wanted them to participate, and they did. They vowed in perpetuity to hear Mass every year in the church of the first monastery of the Visitation, and on the same day to assist at a procession of thanksgiving. Anne Madeleine's remaining years of life, after the subsidence of the plague's wrath, were again turned inward to her more mystical attractions. She experienced an exchange of hearts and united herself deeply to the wounded heart of her Lord, evincing the marks of stigmata. On February 15, 1730, at the age of 33, she died, attended by her blood sister, who was infirmarian at the time. Like her great sister predecessor, Margaret Mary Alacoque, she had given herself totally to the love of the Sacred Heart. It was a joy to my visitandine heart to find that the memory of Anne Madeleine Remusat has not been consigned to the oblivion of some dark, dust-covered archival corner. The good news is that she lives and even attractively adorns the opening page of the Diocese of Marseille's present-day website, where she is still promoting her city's unique bond with the Sacred Heart of Jesus. As recently as April 2009, a postulator has been appointed for the promotion of her cause, Monsignor Jean-Pierre Elul. And this, I believe, is an encouraging sign of a renewed interest in her life and mission. the Sacred Heart continues to exercise a fascination over the minds and hearts of those who delve into its history and spirituality. The simple but assuring words of Jesus to our sister, St. Margaret Mary, "If you believe, you will see the power of my heart," should energize us to do all we can to offer and share the beauty of our rich spiritual heritage with those around us.
For more information about the Order of the Visitation of Holy Mary, go to visitationspirit.org.